Hey there, I'm Sarah.
I'm Brian.
Hey there, I'm Brian.
I'm Sarah.
And welcome back this week. Hope you enjoyed last week. Last week we were in Inglewood, Florida, and we talked about food chain, food supply chain. This week we're going across the whole country to the West Coast, and we are talking to
Micah.
And Micah has recovered from COVID-19, but there's a little bit more to his story. And
yeah, what would be that title?
I don't know. I mean, he had it. He traveled all around the world when this was just getting started. In every country he left, had an outbreak within hours after him leaving or days after he left. He got back to the States, and he's going to go through that for us. Make sure you watch it to the end, because we kind of stopped recording, and he tells us to turn the recording back on, and he gives you the real reason for his trip, and
it's awesome.
How would you describe that? Yeah. Just let's go ahead and cut to the interview. You're in Eugene, Oregon. I guess we can start out with what's it like there?
I'm 300 yards or so outside of city limits. So I'm really close to the city. Eugene's chill. Eugene is, there's no toilet paper. Eggs, dairy, hard to come by sometimes on the shelves. But
meat,
mostly everything is yuppie stocked, I might be living a little bit of a romance Armageddon, being that, I'm a pot farmer and this really isn't affecting me or my business, and the state has, said, hey, you pot farmers, you guys got to stay open. No vacation for you.
Okay, that's kind of interesting.
Right, yes, are you open?
A lot of things, a lot of states, especially around here, they still look at pot. I don't smoke pot, but they still look at it as like, you might as well be doing heroin. Oh, my God, that's evil.
Yes, they do here. They are that way here. Yes.
Yeah.
It's changing very gradually, but I mean, I definitely think that it's one of those things.
Hey, you know what we say in the business, the first one's free.
So the government is actually saying for you guys to stay open. I mean, is that the government?
Yeah. We have cannabis curbside. So, all the dispensaries are open. And, of course, it's farming season. So, it's essential. Farmers got to stay open. And I think back here in the Pacific Northwest, it's a lot of jobs. It's a lot of people working outside that naturally have social distancing, and people that are working here locally, they go home. So work outside, you go the fuck home. So the social distancing thing's pretty easy to keep everybody apart, being that they're outside.
Do you see, just in town in Eugene, do you see people doing the social? I know here we had the liquor store, for example, the night before they shut down everything, people were just shoulder to shoulder out the door. Then the next day they had lines on the floor and weird plexiglass.
We went through the panic, all the rednecks, including myself, I got down there at the Capella's buying crossbows and I'm sharpening up my arrows and changing out my tips. Definitely that panic thing happened. More of a guerrilla warfare kind of guy, set a trap and throw out some bait and see what I catch,
So you really do have a crossbow?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
So
It's all wrapped up, but
sanitarily wrapped. So you were, when all this started, you were traveling, because I was following you on Instagram. You tagged me on an abandoned thing. You were all over the place.
Yeah, I was on an island called Santorini in the Greek islands. So Santorini is a volcanic island. It's got an underwater volcano. It's basically, the belief is that it was the volcano that erupted and kind of created the great floods and the Armageddon era history of Noah's Ark and all that. Great time of year to be there in the winter. Nobody is there. I had the whole island to myself. There's about
social distancing.
Well, yeah, you know, there was one restaurant open. There was about 10 Chinese tourists on the island and me. And then, you know, the locals, which, you know, everybody leaves. I mean, literally everyone leaves. In the summer, you would go there. You're going to pay $3,000 a night for a room. And I'm renting luxury hotels for $14 in the winter. It was great. Wow.
Because of winter?
Yeah, because everyone leaves and it's no, like, you can't really swim, you know, like, it's all the shop owners go back to the mainland.
Tourist economy.
Yeah, yeah. The economy just tanks because it's cold, you know.
So you were there, you were a bunch of other places, because I was following you on Instagram.
So Greece, you know, I hit Santorini, I hit Crete, was all over the mainland. I was in Italy, Rome, Pompeii. I went to Turkey, I went to Moldova, I went to Ukraine, I went to Finland, I went to Estonia, one of my favorite places, Tallinn. It's like a sister city of Eugene or Portland. So, very, very cool place.
Put this in perspective with like kind of the timeline of when the whole COVID-19 thing start going. Where is this travel on that timeline?
Well, I landed in November 22nd, okay? This is right, November 22nd, this is like case one is breaking. I actually, as of late, went back and started looking at this, and it was in the end of November that the outbreak actually started to happen, so I really wasn't aware. And I also believe that right around that first outbreak happening, I mean, people in and out of the borders, in and out of China, Russia, there's a million people in the sky at all times. I mean, I have a feeling that this thing has been going around and being spread a lot longer than the government agencies want to admit, to the point that many months, you know, from November to now, that many open borders, that million people every day leaving one place, touching down in another, how could it not? How do we not already have it and have been in a pandemic? I just, from my place, looking back from November to now, all the places I've been, all the people I've talked to, how they've, oh, I've been sick, I've already got it. It was already something I've never experienced before. So November. From November to February 15th, I traveled abroad, Eastern Europe, Egypt. You know, I did the whole Nile River, from the pyramids all the way to Absu Temple, Aswan, Abydos. I could just...
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
So what happened with you? You got sick.
I got sick. So I'm going to put you into... So November 22nd, I land in Italy, do Vatican, see the whole tourism thing. Vatican was probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life ever. But February, the month of February, I basically traveled Estonia, Moldova, Romania, Ukraine, Hungary. And then I had to fly back to Cairo to catch my return flight home, which was on the 15th of February.
Oh, you're right there at the beginning.
Oh yeah, through the whole thing. And why I'm traveling, it was on my radar, but it wasn't until I would say like Christmas time, New Year's Christmas time, that it was like, oh, COVID on the media, COVID, I should be. And you know what? It did at the time. It didn't seem like that big of a deal. And the outbreak in Italy really hadn't happened yet.
Right. That was a big outbreak, too.
Yeah. But it, like right around the day I left Cairo, which was February 15th, Italy was in a full-on outbreak. It was like every country I was going to, I would leave, and then boom, there'd be an outbreak. And you like you kind of have like this like you're like, God, am I the asshole?
is it your fault?
Yeah, I mean, and then it's like wow, the power, you know, the surge. Yeah, no, not that
Antichrist.
Yeah, I wish, you know.
So when did you start feeling sick? Did you have a problem getting back, or did you have any problems traveling at all?
No, none at all. Actually, no problems traveling.
Not at that time, but
not at that time. I know I was, you know, I was really concerned about getting into Egypt. You know, I was really, you know, the American propaganda of like the Muslim fear, you know, and like all these kind of things. I didn't even realize I had until I was like, oh my God, I'm going into Egypt. And I was like, man, I am one prejudiced, biased motherfucker. These people are great and sweet and kind and not judgmental. But as far as getting sick, on the 15th of February, when I landed, I was fine. My friends picked me up at the airport. Everyone was happy to see me, want to hear my stories.
What was the date again? February
15th.
Okay, right. January 30th is when apparently America heard about it or something.
Oh, they fucking, I mean, it's such bull, you know, like, they knew about it. The real interesting thing is the way this thing spread happened in Luxor, Egypt, actually. We know that it was a Chinese tourist that came from the Wuhan area. And got on one of these cruise ships that sails from Luxor to Aswan and Aswan back to Luxor. And you have to understand, when you go into Egypt, people from all over the world come to the pyramids, okay? Right. So this is a great spot for the virus to get into somebody, go to Egypt to see the pyramid and just spread it to all these different foreigners and all these different travelers, because the whole world's coming to see this seventh wonder of the world or fifth or whatever. I don't know what number it is, but
I think it's a little ahead of Crater Lake. So
yeah, and from there, boom, just it went everywhere. I wasn't sick then. In fact, I think my perspective, I'm not sure when I caught it actually. I went back and I'm looking at some of my videotapes in Egypt, and I've got this wicked cough that I wasn't even paying attention to. And I'm like, so it's kind of eerie watching old tape, and you're like, oh man, I got this dry cough. I wasn't even thinking anything of it, you know, so that's kind of, and nobody knows anything about the virus. Even when I get home, I know I'm like, so 14 days after I got home, I was sick. I mean, I was
14 days after you got home.
So what date can you guesstimate? What date?
It was March, I want to say the 2nd. Okay.
So did you have this little weird cough, and then like you really noticed that it got worse and then started getting freaked out a little bit maybe?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like I went through like a little stage of nausea. And it never really getting sick. I might have just been like in survival mode, traveling, jumping from one spot to the next, staying immune strong. And then I think once I got home, I knew I had a place to rest. Maybe this thing decided to kick in. It was the night I got drunk. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what people have been saying.
You got out of denial.
That they have like some symptoms and they kind of linger and then they kind of switch up. Nausea is one of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, and let's think if you're a virus and you're mutating and you're trying to jump from pig to bird to dog to human or whatever, right? Because it's zootonic.
Zootonic.
If you're a virus, you're also going to like...
If you're a virus...
Well, yeah, you have to think... I think in the eyes of the virus, personally, because there's life before you get sick and life after you get sick. And before you get sick, you're like, yeah, whatever, I'm a fucking badass human, chilling, you can't fucking get me. And then you're sick. And then you're like, oh, I'm not that badass. It can get you. And you recover. And so then you're like, oh, I'm sick, I'm a badass, I recovered. But then you think, all the spreading I did. You know, I'm just like, man, all those places, all those people I drank beer with, all those.
Get back and you hung out with all.
Yeah, all those joints I hit, all those, you know.
Oof.
Every grocery store. I mean, and like one memory for me really hits hard is I'm in the grocery store. This is like right before the panic buying happened. And there's this old lady. I'm at this point, I'm sick as fuck. And I'm telling people that it's here. Oh my God. You know, no one's even believing me. And it's like, what, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, they have no idea. But I'm in the grocery store. I'm sick. And there's this old lady. And she's like, can you reach, tall dude, reach up there and grab me bread, you know?
Ooh.
Grab me this bread. I'm like, oh, I can't. She's like, yeah. She's like, I don't care about the fucking sickness. Grab me the bread. I'm here because my daughter's trying to keep me in the house. I was like, what the hell? So I was like, I walked over there and I picked up the bread, and I've always wondered in my mind, you know, I wonder if I got that lady sick, you know? I was like really cautious, and I, you know, tried not to breathe, and I held my breath, and I walk up there and pick the loaf and then give it to her.
And you just look sicker because you were holding your breath and you were all purple.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is we did a live stream like a couple hours, like an hour or two ago, and I think we had someone from Alabama popping in saying, we're going on shutdown tomorrow. And I was like, wow, that's a little late.
That's a little late.
The conservative states. And I talked to another friend of mine in Florida who said, we are still allowing New Yorkers by the plane load, and our numbers are doubling daily. So they're letting people fly in from New York.
Go ahead. I mean, let's be real. To a certain amount of credit, you know what? It's like, you're going to get sick, get over it, get back to work. Just like, let's stop crying about it. All right. I don't mean to sound insensitive towards humanity or anything, but like, come on.
Were you a confirmed? There was no test. I mean,
no, there's this. Okay. So to not give them credit, the powers that be, there is no test. There's a break in the supply chain. The virus has spread so fast and so many people need tests. What America didn't do is consider the fact there would be a break in the supply chain with getting these tests. So I never got tested. I got sick. I tried to get a test. I actively tried to get the test. And no, I was denied. I was rejected. You're young, healthy, 40-year-old man. Look, I still worked. Like, it put me down for 2 days, fever. The third day, I was shoveling dirt. It was hard work. It was, like, way harder than normal. But, you know, and I'm like, fuck, I guess I get it. We should save tests for an old person or, you know, that old lady that got sick at the store or whatever, getting her bread. She probably needs the test more than I do so they could treat her. But I think that's the actual problem here is they can't get positive tests up until now. So now we have an out. Now we have an outbreak. It's already too late. So what's the fucking point?
She just had a big scare with.
Cool, I know.
Who works in a grocery store and is in contact with thousands of people a day in customer service. We've been through 3 attempts at a very, very difficult protocol. I'm not the one to sit back and not be mouthy about my needs. Yeah. And I've really, really pushed her. We started with going to the doctor a month ago when I thought she had an ear infection or a sinus infection. Oh, no, you don't have that. You have the flu. Then to going back thinking, oh, my God, it's coronavirus, to fever of 101, they still wouldn't give her a test. So I'm like, well, what's the next step? I called the health department. What's the next step? What do we do next? They sent us to a flu protocol place where they test you for the flu first and then decide whether or not you're eligible for a COVID-9. test, and they discovered she had a sinus infection. So all along,
the process of it was
well, yeah,
she has asthma. and is also working in a grocery store with thousands of people a day, and we cannot get a test.
You went through.
Okay, so on that note, here I am. I come into the country. 14 days later, I get sick. I'm on the phone with the healthcare. Look, guys, I just came from Italy. I just came from Romania. I am a carrier, high risk. They're like, oh, dear God. Yes. Okay, we're taking your number down. We'll have a screener get a hold of you right away. But the call never came. And, you know, I call back. Okay. And I call a different place and that place. And you start to realize, oh, what they want to do is set me up for every other fucking test in the world, you know, before I get this COVID test, because they don't have the test. So we have to rule everything else out first before we come off one of our precious, precious COVID-19 tests that might work, maybe.
So walk us through the sickness. Like, what, how did you start out with that dry cough? What?
You know, like I said, there was like a few days of feeling this kind of weird nauseous. You know, the very first thing was my muscles. I was like, damn, my muscles. I just felt like I got hit by a truck. Like my, just everything just was so.
Or flu-like kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like sore. Like I ran a marathon with a fucking backpack of bricks on or something, you know, just, I laid there. And every morning I'd get up and just be like, God, slow moving. And that was days before I actually got the fever. And then the fever came.
Like how many days? Like,
oh, I mean, from the time, 14 days. I mean,
so you had the cough, then you got the muscle aches, then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you got to keep in mind the cough is something I discovered going when I went back in my tapes and I looked. I was like, oh shit, I'm like coughing here, I'm coughing there. You know, like I didn't even realize I had a cough when, you know, I wasn't even, there's so much about this. And once again, through the eyes of the virus, you see how clever it is just to keep you healthy enough and active enough to get moving around, to cough and breathe on things. You know, they're very smart. I don't know what, are they like a virus? What is it? A mushroom? I don't know, a spore?
Right.
It's like this invisible thing that spreads around and you get it. I don't even know. But it's wild. Fever, 2 days of fever, intense fever, the crazy fever, nightmares.
What was your fever?
It was a good, solid fever. What
was it up to?
Oh, I was like in the 102 or less, you know, like I wasn't an 107 kind of deal or anything like that. But yeah, you know, I was hot. I was definitely hot.
So, okay, so you got, you had the fever. I mean, what was it like? How long were you, like,
sick? It was a solid 2 day fever, you know? And I remember the third day, like, oh, fuck, I'm glad that's over. But I have roommates, okay? They never got sick. So I'm just going to throw that out there, too. So, wait, you know, this is one of the things. I could have just had the flu. We don't know, you know? It's like the humbling part here is like, oh, I'm not really the guy that got everyone sick. That's damn it. I mean, I'm rooting for the virus. My empathy level for humanity and all the earth rape and like, you know, I'm going to go into the middle of the desert in Egypt. I'm going to go to ex-Soviet territories and live in a rural area with, like, poor people and shit. That's what I want to do for my vacation. I want to get away from these fucking complaining Americans, God damn it. It's, like, kind of a bummer to, like, go from luxury hotel to luxury hotel.
You don't see anything.
You have the virus, then it's great.
Now we know, damn it. We know what we need for an next road trip.
You know, I go to the DAC, the Downtown Athletic Club here in Eugene. And, you know, it was like right literally after I got off the phone with the nurse, she was like, okay, well, we'll call you back. And I was like, well, okay. I guess I should go to the sauna. And I did. And I went to the fucking sauna and I had a great sauna. And it was fucking very healing, and I, you know, it made me feel a lot better. And I came home and I slept, and fever came on really hard. Yeah, you know, fever. It was like documentaries were on, the tea was rolling, I was making soup, and you know, I sweat the fucking thing out. You know, I just, my body healed. I just like, but you had to, I had to go through a 2 day like fever.
You are a very healthy fucking person. That fucking shows.
Yeah, I work a lot, you know, like I'm like, fucking fuck this sickness. You're going to fucking hold me down. Fuck you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go plow some soil, motherfucker. And I'm working hard, you know, I'm really working hard, like by shovel, making these big compost mounds, you know, I'm just not letting this thing.
I think the biggest note I've taken on my list here is, which I've only taken one note, is you were talking about reviewing videotape. Was it really videotape? It's not digital?
Oh, that's
a, I hit him for you. You want me to punch him?
Yeah, no, it's time stamped.
Okay. Yeah. Videotape though, like can you like
Yeah, okay, yeah. I should say filmed.
How long did that sickness process last?
It lingered. This thing lingers. It's like honestly, from the, like, I remember being, what I want to say is, like, do you know when you get sick, when you, like, bump into that person and they got that smell, and then, like, and then you're, like, driving away or something, and then you can smell the smell from the person, and you're like, oh, I fucking got sick, right? You've ever had this experience when you get sick from somebody? Yes. And so I had this experience, and this was in Hungary, and I'm getting on a plane, this little puddle jumper to, Romania, to Bucharest, and there's these two guys together and their girlfriends, and there's this puddle jumper, so we had to go from like the terminal onto a bus onto the little puddle jumper, you know, where they escort you to the plane, you walk in outside, and there's like a fucking nasty storm too, and they're like, we might not even take off, and the whole thing was hella sketchy. But these guys are coughing and sneezing and like the smell, and I was just like, this fucking asshole just got me sick. And you know, that happened somewhere in around January 31st, something like that. I'd have to go back and look at my timestamp, but. And I carried on. I went to all these other places. And I never felt sick. Maybe I'm just traveling, taking care of myself. But I could have easily been infected for, I think, more than a month. I think maybe, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Did I get it in Egypt? Did I get it in Romania? Did I get it? Every place I have been, though, has an outbreak.
Well, I mean, well, you know, there's a lot of people who carry it who will never display symptoms and will be fine too. So,
yeah. You know, like it's like I wonder. Oh, maybe my roommates got exposed to it just enough. They immune systems, you know, built up the antibodies, and they might not get sick. Maybe they're all infected, and I'm like any day now because their time's up. It's like. They're out of time, so I'm waiting. I'm like, come on.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed this Micah's whole story. Very funny guy, very good interview. So we sat around, and we were just kind of talking on Zoom there for a little while, and he has to start recording because there's definitely more to this story.
Yes, a lot more.
If you didn't pick up, he is also a filmmaker and a journalist, and there was a reason why he was doing this traveling. And you might want to get the kids out of the room for this.
It sounds absolutely terrible. It just involves some toys.
So let's have a look at the rest of the conversation.
Yeah. Just let me know.
Go.
Oh, when I landed in the airport, you know, I have to bust out my passport and you scan it through a machine. And this was in Denver. Okay. I landed in Denver. I flew from Cairo, Egypt to Munich, Germany to Denver. All right, and all on the same day, February 15th, and it was the only time, first time in my life, I've never seen the sun set, you know, it was just like flying into the sun the whole time. It was really wild. But anyways, I land, the passport machine pumps out this piece of paper with an X on it over my face. I'm like, fuck, that's not good, you know, and they was like, and the guy's like, oh, over here, and I got to go over there, and they put me in this like interrogation room, you know, I'm watching this one guy get arrested right in front of me. I'm like, oh shit, I think it's gonna get lively, you know. Wow. And There's all they wanted to know is about where did the money come from? How can you afford a 90-day vacation? How could da 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 da? We know. Let me guess. You're a marijuana farmer and shit. You know. And it's just like, I was like, yeah, I am. Fuck off. You know, in the state of Oregon, we're tax exempt. It's medical. You can't say shit. It ain't. Well, how did you get all the money? I was like, well, first of all, my grandmother just died. I inherited some gold. But you probably already know this. I smuggled a bunch of vibrators into Egypt because they're it's a tool. It's an instrument of impurity in under the guise of Muslim law. So they're banned. It's a banned product. I did some research. And I was like, you know, the risk on this isn't that much. I'm going to take $1,100 and I'm going to buy like 12 of these toys. It was more than that. The toy cost $230.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God, you're serious.
Yeah, but I sold these things for like $750 once I got them into Egypt. It's these ones right here. Well, here, we could cuss it up, but it's the these ones you like operate by the phone, you know? So like,
oh.
So you can like call the number and it will like, you know, and it's got the anal plug, it's got the clitoris stimulator, it's got the G-spot stimulator. This was in my bag. I had one left.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I opened up my bag and I showed it to the cop and he believed my, he was like, no shit, smuggling
did this. Awesome.
Yeah.
I thought you were kidding.
No, it happened. It went down.
That's awesome.
This is actually what my story is about. I, as a journalist, I was like, yeah, smuggling dildos in Egypt. That's a fucking story. And then crazy motherfucker's gonna do it. That's me. And I'm gonna go do it. And I did it and it worked and it paid for my trip.
Have you put together a video of this? Because that's gonna
be
amazing.
I have. I mean, I have fucking 2-3 hard drives full of
fucking edit that shit up, dude.
Yeah, I know.
It's fucking wonderful. That's a Vice story right there.
I mean, look, social distancing. You want one of these toys. This is like, see, for me, as a farmer isolated in my farm world, okay.
You like, gotta have someone
now,
call
now
it.
Everybody, and now I'm like, oh, now you guys get to feel what it's like to be me. I see. Uh-huh. You're like, yep. Yep, what's gonna get you through life? That vibrator. Welcome to Micah's Trap House.
And cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers. Yeah. But that is, you know, I think it's just crucial to the story. Why I did. I'm trying to do a career change. I'm trying to do journalism work and find interesting stories.
So are we.
Dildos was really, yeah, because the weed thing's not that great. I mean, it's a lot of fucking hard work. Sure, I see the economy of it go around many hands. And it's good for the community, but it's really fucking hard work. Well, I think it's a great time for normal people. Like, if they're only producing fake news and rhetoric and blah, 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 with inserts of facts, you know, maybe it's time that smaller communities build reliable names for their own journalism skills and bringing some real truth to the fucking
absolutely.
YouTube. You know, it's like, I mean, step up, really. You know, which is one of the things because, you know, I've got these interviews with all these cam models and sex workers, you know, associated with the vibrator because people can, like, tip. Right, they can like cryptocurrency or whatever to make the little thing go off on cam. And so I also, part of my journey was going around and meeting cam models and interviewing them, but of course they don't want to be on tape. Of course there's secrecy. But I've got good audio and accents, but I have to hire actresses. I'm gonna have to like hire actresses to read off the script from the sex workers. So it's like, fuck. So you know, my film is a little more complicated than. I have a lot of explaining to do in an hour.
Because,
You know, it's like, it's easy for me to, one thing I learned is like, I can go into any place and find a story.
Me too, actually.
Yeah. And that's all that counts. And now I'm just trying to practice perfecting my style. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to look like a wingnut or a fake media thing. I don't want to mimic what the normal news is doing, trying to have my own niche. I don't want to be Micah Bourdain, you know? I want to be Micah fucking Griffin. There's there's humor in everything. There can always be, you know, it doesn't have to be dishonest or straight manipulation. Straight manipulation is when like a Facebook bot sends you pictures of video of trains carrying tanks in your city, right? That's malevolent media. That's like some bullshit. And you know, I'm like, that's not March. That's fucking the middle of summer. And this fucking asshole is sending me this video to like create this hype on social media. So much of this media network, the social media network, is plagued with these bots, these fake personalities to deliver the propaganda that you want to hear.
Well,
you know?
What's interesting is people who share that propaganda because they see a headline. They don't read the story. I spent forever this isn't even recent, just like fact-checking things. I'm like, dude, okay, this dog got its throat slit by somebody. Wow, that was 6 years ago, and that guy's been in prison for three. So, yeah. Like, why are you posting that now?
Totally. Yeah, the old media. Yeah, look, it's not a lie. It's, you know, it's a story that I just thought it was interesting that it happened back then, and it makes sense now.
No, sign this petition about this guy now. And I'm like, he's already in fucking prison. Like, get your facts straight. Like, please research your shit. Yeah. Don't fucking research.
But, you know, then again, like, I love all the creepy-ass shit with Joe Biden that's being recirculating, you know? It has its place, you know? Here you're seeing, like, all this, like, the dude's a fucking pervert. Sleepy Joe's a perv. You know, he needs to get a fucking vibrator and shove it in his fucking mouth. Fuck it. I mean, he's out to lunch.
He is. He really, like, oh, God, you know, that's our choice. That's our...
Trump could use one, too. I mean, he just farts when he speaks. It's like...
You talk. I got to pee real quick. Make a drink.
I don't know. I've been in news all my life. I got lucky when I got out of college. I got a job with a newspaper, and I struggled with that whole bias thing. You know, how do I do this without manipulating the story? And then I found that my style shines through in the way that I see things. So I became a little more okay with being a little biased. So
yeah, me too. You know, I think there's like as I've grown up into it. I'm realizing, you know, it's a healthy way of thinking to not take sides, to not let emotional impulse override your thinking as a journalist. It's a little more scientific.
Very hard. Yeah. And admitting that you're wrong. Like, I admitting that you're wrong. Admit when I'm wrong. I mean, I will be biased. My daughter called me capitalist today, and that's the last thing I want to be. But what I had just said was she was absolutely right.
Oh, yeah. It's like, we're so engraved into us.
Absolutely, yes. Especially here in the Midwest. It's a lot of religion and a lot of military influence. And that's really hard to face. And realize that, oh, my God, I am very influenced by these things.
You know, when I was in Egypt, there's military there. That's military. We don't see military here, really. Like, there's
military
every fucking bam, 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 guys with guns everywhere. And, man, I felt so safe in Egypt. And I just felt so at home. And Egypt was...
So were they cool? I mean, were they...
Everybody was cool as fuck. Egypt was cool as fuck.
Yeah, that's awesome because I've been...
I mean, really, Egyptian people are rad.
Yeah, I've met with foreign people in Europe, you know, Germany and Poland, and, you know, the whole America, oh, you're pompous and stuck up kind of, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell that they don't really want to take you very seriously. So it's not that way there.
Well, that's because we make them look really bad everywhere else in the world. Like, because... Yeah, because, like, Eastern European people loved Americans, you know, like, we're generous, we're nice, chivalry, you know, tip. To seriously, compared to a whacked-out German dude who's into some really kinky shit and he's trying to buy a kid, I mean, it's like, fuck.
Or eat another human.
I'm like, what kind of, like, Europe is the... But, you know, some people like the Germans, you know, the Russians weren't very nice either. Yeah, I noticed when it came to, like, Western Europe politics versus Eastern European politics, very different cultures.
Yes.
Yeah, there is, you know, and actually I think a lot of from what I was just hearing from people, I was, like, the guy I rented a felucca, and I sailed the Nile River with this dude in the felucca. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, yeah, in Egypt, everybody knows the language. No, they know every language. They know Spanish. They know German. They know Russian. They know all of them. And they learn the basics. Hello, how are you? Pay me.
I need to learn that one.
Yeah, you know, they know how to haggle and be polite.
Was that a case in Egypt? Actually, from what I've heard of Egypt, especially like around the pyramids, everybody's trying to sell you something, even if you don't.
Well, yeah, then there's the merchants and then like the hustle of that.
Yeah.
So because I'm a dildo smuggler, my connect in Egypt.
You have dildo connects?
Yeah, I've got dildo connects. These are instruments of impurity.
I grow weed, but have dildo connects.
Instruments of impurity. That's not.
Yeah, well, the legal thing killed the buzz, dude. The legal thing with weed is it's like it's not fun anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, sneaking dildos into the Muslim state. Well, that's just gonna get me decapitated, probably.
Yeah.
Or castrated.
No, actually, the punishment's pretty low. So you have to also carry, if you get caught, you have to carry the money with you to bail yourself out. So you're going to get charged the cost of the vibrator times two. That's your fine. So if I got caught with 12 of them, they're $230 each.
Oh, they're banking.
They're banking, yeah. And you pay them off and you get banned, you know. And I was like, well, okay. That would be really humiliating and embarrassing and make a great story if I got caught. You know, but
you gotta edit the shit. I really look forward
to
seeing
this. You know, the contrast of this with my sister doing doing Christian I don't know what they
missionary call
it. Missionary work. That's the M word, that's a bad word over there.
She goes everywhere.
My sister is over there doing that, and it's like, oh my god, I fear for her life daily.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's you know, I was you know, the Iranian drone strikes happened. Bush ordered the drone strikes. I was there in Egypt in the fucking middle of desert with Bedouin camel riding, farming, desert dwelling survivalist, you know. And they were very much like, oh, we're going to protect you, you know, like no matter what happens, you know, like, like you're with us, you know. It's like that's how we are. And it's like, really? And it's like, yeah, oh yeah, we'll, don't worry, you're safe, you know. And I was like, okay, that's super cool. Super cool. That's so really, you know,
that's
spiritual people. They're very spirit, the Muslim people. It's the it's there's secrets there. Sweet. Yeah, well, yeah, my whole life that's what's been shoved in my face. It's a sad biased prejudice that we're just wrong.
That's what my sister says also.
Just wrong, flat out wrong. And it's fucked up to have to admit to yourself. You go there and you're like, wow, I am really fucking blind. Because one of the beauties of travel was like it really removes the horse blinders or whatever. Have to watch out for the hustle. Muslims are super cool people, super smart.
What kind of hustle are you referring to?
The
merchandise.
The no hassle.
Selling.
Yeah, the no hassle, no hassle. But you're like, you're fucking grabbing my arm. I'm going to punch you in the face, dude.
No, wait, what are they trying to sell you?
Oh, you know, scarves, papyrus, you know, yeah. Like Osiris, whatever, just statues. And it's like, oh my God. Oh, you have a camera? Look the fuck out. I just walked around with the camera and money in my hand.
What was, you know, the
it's like no point in like having just like here's one, go away, here's
one. What was the situation near the pyramids with the camera? I hear they're kind of get a little weird around that area.
No, you just pay. You pay. You like, shut up, go away.
You bribe people.
And yeah, this is another part of in my story is like I'm really it ruined it for me. You know, I thought I was going to be able to set up my tripod, have a moment to myself, get a beautiful cascading wide angle shot of the pyramids, you know. And what's funny, Cairo's right there. It's pyramids, Cairo. It's like they're in the city. It's a trip.
Right.
And but you don't get that because there's a merchant, a hassler, a security guard, or keeper of – oh, good sir, I'm a keeper of the temple. I broke my leg this morning. Do you mind if you had a little snicker off daddy's medicine? You're like, here's some money, go away.
So you're paying these people off to be able to do what you need to do.
Yeah, but even in that context, I couldn't even do it because it was like, so like, we're going to get caught. You got to go. Because it's against the law for them to do it. It's all black market. So you're paying these people off to take pictures. You're wondering if you're going to get set up. We've got your camera now. And look, you're not supposed to. And so like, I was, and this shit's crazy. I'm walking around these sites with armed military soldiers, like, with guns. I mean, I'm paying them money off to take illegal photography.
No, that's exactly why I asked, because that's why I heard.
It's just their hustle. It's just their hustle. They're like, but then I think it's like, they're like, oh, we'll make it feel like he's doing something dangerous and like, it's like exotic, you know? It's like he's a thrill seeker, you know? And yeah, so hustle. They're just, you know, it's the model of your camera. Right. You have a nice camera, you're paying.
You said you had a Sony A7? Is that what you had?
And with a big wide-angle lens on it. Yeah. And I like bust this thing out, and it looks like a weapon, you know? You're just like,
awesome.
So it's like, you know, as a photographer, you realize that this device also imitates other things that could get you in trouble. Oh. I don't know. I really like the video of corporate Shafe and drunk Shafe or punk.
Oh God! Oh, you watched that? Business Brian and punk Shafe. Try dating those two, okay? Try dating them.
That's a Valentine's gift to her. I don't think anybody should have probably. I probably shouldn't post that. I should probably just send that directly.
No,
to her.
I loved it. It was beautiful. It was. Thank you.
That's very hard to do. And if you look if you look very closely, when the beer goes down, you can see the tape marks where I put the beer. Uh-huh. And then you'll see a cut where I couldn't figure out how to do it because I had to do it all overnight before morning. And
before Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah, it was Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that was what it is. And I'm thinking, I actually kind of considered last night, like, maybe I should do a quarantine business, Brian. And
well, that's funny because, I mean, I remember watching this video on my phone in the Cairo airport in the hotel.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's February 14th, yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, and you can find us at WeDoVids.com, DaytonBusinessVideo.com, and
SarahBennettPhotography.net.
Have a good night, guys. Next week, we are talking to, we're moving to the middle of the country, to our neck of the woods, and we're talking to a small business owner who owns a tattoo shop. And it kind of lends you to wonder, like, do tattoo artists have a little bit of an edge on knowing a little bit more about cross-contamination than, say, your typical ER nurse, your dentist, or just the general public?